then it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
Today's sermon title is Who Are We as Church? As we talk about our identity as Christians and as a church, let's have a moment of taking a deep breath. Let's do it together. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. One more time. Breathe in. Hold it. And breathe out. Amen. Amen. As we breathe the air in and out slowly, you feel you become relaxed and refreshed. I think sometimes it is all about what we are doing. Breathing. Breathing the air. We can't live every single, even a single minute, even a single second without God, because God is the source of our life. As we breathe the air. And in this room, in this sanctuary, we share the air together. In that way, we know we are one family in God as we share the air, the source of life together. Some of you know my wife was a campus minister at Northern Illinois University. She started from the scratch, from the nothing. So at the time, 4 or 5 years ago, I was helping her campus ministry as she was helping my previous church ministry. So, win-win. I thought it was a really good deal. In the beginning, we did research where she needs to start her ministry. And she found many students. They struggled with their finance. Some of them didn't have enough food. I mean, good food on their table. And many of them, they wanted to have a homemade meal, because they miss their mom, their parents. They really miss their home. So we thought, okay, let's start from there. So we began providing them free dinner every Sunday in the student center. And the number of students coming for the dinner was growing so fast. And we were feeding over 100 students every Sunday. One day we had over 160 students. That was amazing. So we invited students to the table. And of course, they were curious. They asked us about who we are. Why? Who are you? And why are you doing this? So I talked to them. Okay, it is a United Methodist Church campus ministry. And we just want to give you what you guys need at first. Yes, most of them, they liked it. They appreciated it. But some of them gave me suspicious eyes. Oh, yeah. Just imagine that you are invited to some strange guy to the meal, I mean table, and you may be really suspicious. Why? And some of them, not just one or two, a few students immediately replied, "You will be surprised what they said." They said, "What kind of church does a good thing?" So my response was, of course, "What?" Right? Can you imagine that? Not one or two, but more than three people. Three college kids, they said, "What kind of church does a good thing like this?" Because in my mind, the church, we always do good things. but some of them couldn't believe it. So today, we begin a new sermon series, Church Again, trying to answer some of the questions. What is church? Why does it exist? Why does it even matter to us? Why it is so important? Church is so important to you and me, then why? And with these questions, we will think of and develop our own ecclesiology, which comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, which means church. What does it mean? So, for many years, the United Methodist Church has embarked on a public campaign that was called Rethink Church. And actually, this campaign was targeting specifically young people in their 20s and 30s, because a large number of young people in the United States, they are opting out of the church. But I want to extend our target not only to our young people, but also many people who left the church and who are non-Christians, anti-Christians, and even atheist. The thing is, there are so many people around us who do not come to church because they don't know what church is exactly, or they have twisted images of the church or negative experience of the church, just like the conversation that I made with a few college students. So in his book, Missional Church, Dr. Darrell, he claims that when many people in the United States, when they think of church, I mean Christ, Jesus, they think Jesus is awesome. He's fantastic. He's a wise man. He did so many good work. But when they think of the church, what comes in their mind is a little bit different picture that we have. When they think about the church, what comes in their mind is segregation, dogma, hatred, discrimination, and fighting. And I was confused because, in my understanding, the church was always awesome and fantastic. We, the church, always trying to do good work as Jesus commanded. If I'm wrong, maybe my 20 years of ministry was not enough. We think we do not try to segregate or to be mean to other people, hurting other people. That is not what we want in general and in our belief. But it is so true throughout the church history in the past. There have been Christians and leaders who, in the name of the gospel, who have called people to do the things that were unlike Jesus. A lot of historians and Christians count the crusade. The crusade was what most people point to as one of the examples. That is probably the darkest chapter in our church history, when Christians are calling upon other Christians to hurt people and kill people in the name of Christ. When they have called upon other people to treat others with disrespect and make them feel small, at the moment, the church stops being the church, because that is not what Jesus called us to be. And sadly, crusade was not the only one mistake that the church has made. But we know Jesus. Whenever I sing, "Give me Jesus," that makes me cry. That is all we need. But Jesus, he was the one who called us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. He called us to pray for one another and even for those people who persecute us, and called us to turn the other cheek and forgive. And he was the one who demonstrated sacrificial love by example, hanging on the cross. And anyone who follows that crucified Jesus the Messiah, we have to recognize the way which is demonstrating the sacrifice and sacrificial love. Love, love, love. Love which we are given from God, and love we are to give to the people. So we, the church, are trying to seek to understand who is God, and what does God want from us, and how can we live our lives to be more like Jesus every day, so that we may please God. That is who we are, love. Love defines who we are. But as you know, there are still many people, especially radical atheists and many young people, who have negative experience and images. They are against any kind of religion. Then, I happen to think of this way and try to imagine, what is the world like without religion, especially Christianity? What if we don't have the church and faithful Christians? We have to close down a lot of hospitals and schools. If you took away religion, especially Christianity, we have to close down most of the homeless shelters and most of the facilities for the marginalized and the unspoken people, because most of them were established by and run by faithful religious people and churches. And we have to see most of those associations, so many AA, Boy Scout and Girl Scout, and so many others, they were started by faithful people who said, there is pain in this world, and our task is to live out the love of Christ by bringing light, bringing healing, redemption, and hope to this very broken world. And these are the amazing God's work in us, among us, and through us. And these amazing God's ministry have happened because there are so many good, faithful people of God and churches, because we know our role is first to know the love of God in Jesus Christ and then live that in our world. And we know that the church has made plenty of mistakes, just like I make mistakes almost every day. We have made plenty of mistakes over centuries. But by and large, what the church has sought to be is the hand and the voice of Christ in this world, bringing healing, hope, love, and peace, and the light to the world. And so people say, the reason why they don't go to church is, they say there are some churches with a certain narrow mind, and some churches know only their stuff only, saying, I mean, some churches say, we are the one who have the right thing all the time. Yes, some churches do that, but not all of them. And I have met so many people say, you know what, the church is filled with the hypocrites. That's why I don't go to church. I do not want to be a part of the church. But let me say that. If you don't want to be a part of the church because it is filled with the hypocrites, so what are you going to be, I mean, part of? And I can say, we can say, there is no human being on this planet, the whole universe, who perfectly lives out their lives according to their ideal all the time. You just saw me making mistakes during the worship. We do make it. And if you have seen anyone who lives their life perfect, please, I mean, my office is open every day, so please come to my office and let me know. I will go follow the person. We know every person in this world is broken somehow, making mistakes once or many. so many times, we need to be welcome and open to who we are. We need to know about that. And let me just be radical in this topic. The truth is, we all are hypocrites at some point. Of course, including me. I don't fully live out what I believe. I'm not Jesus. I'm not perfect. But I want to be that person that I see in my mind and in my belief. I'm not yet there. We are not yet there. It is our lifelong journey to get there. I want to be that person. And the church is a place for all who are somehow broken. For all to come and to be transformed, to be like Jesus every day more and more. And we may say to the people, if you recognize that all are hypocrites, that is the perfect place. You may start a church because everyone needs God. Everyone, every one of us needs God. We need to be transformed by the power of God. That is what we need. That's the starting point when you think about who we are and the church. So today's scripture reading, it is about Jesus commanding of his disciples. You know what? You are the light of the world. Let's be honest with that. When you read the Bible, the disciples, they were not perfect at all. Many of them were uneducated. Many of them have done so many things wrong. Many of them were marginalized. They have done something wrong so many times. They were broken somehow, and Jesus knew who they were. But still, Jesus called upon them to be the disciples following Jesus. I know you are broken somehow, but I want to be the light of the world. Be like Jesus, so the people might know of God and give glory to God. That is the core of the Bible. So, when you read the Bible, you may find the difference between Jesus and the Pharisees. When we compare what Jesus has done to what the Pharisee has done, the Pharisees, they were simply focusing on which one is right and wrong in their culture, in their law, in their standard. Their focus was all about who is violating what kind of law and whether I am better or not. Just like the Pharisees standing and praying in the public place, God, I thank you, I'm not that person. I do so and so and so, and I'm better. But Jesus, he is focusing on who needs God's love, who needs God's grace and forgiveness, and who is hurting others, and who got hurt. That was his focus. And that Jesus asks us to be more like him every day, to be reconciled to God, and to proclaim the good news of love, grace, and forgiveness, eventually to extend the love and grace. And Jesus calls us to take the light to the world. With the light of the Christ, Jesus wants us to shine our love, our grace. And we gather together in this beautiful body of Christ to remember that. To remember that. We gather together to sense God's presence. We gather together to be reconciled to God and people. And we gather together to hear God's word once more and to be recharged and refreshed so that we may go out in God's word, in the word, and we can let our light shine throughout the world. So I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you to do two things. The first one, before you leave this church, I want you to find one or two people and talk with them. You know, during our prayer time, we don't usually share what we have in our mind. I want to find one or two people, talk with them genuinely, and share the love, the life together. And the second one is, I want to find one or two people during the week whom you may share the love and grace and care at your work, in your school, or neighborhood. Last month, I was really shocked to hear that, you know, in many restaurants, for many waitresses, Sunday lunch is the toughest time of the week. I was really shocked because, I mean, after worship, we are supposed to get refreshed, reconciled, with hope and joy, and then we may be generous to people. But in the restaurant after worship, for the waitress, it was the time they get treated poor and they get tipped low. I thought about that. Why? Maybe my sermon was long? Did I deliver my message low, poor? As we get refreshed, feel the presence of God, as we decide, all right, this week I want to live my life in a way God wants me to live, let us find one or two people whom we may share the love, grace, forgiveness, and generosity. Because that is who we are to be as the church. And let us be the church. Let us be the body of Christ in love, care, and generosity. Amen.